Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show.
What's up, man? How you doing, brother? Tuesday night, Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday, and we're talking about hot dogs. Kirk, let me start with this. Let me just start with this, all right?
Yeah.
First of all, appreciate all the 710 ESPN listeners tuning in. You're out on the roads. You're listening on your ESPN app. We always appreciate it. Kirk, what did I just get myself into this upcoming Thursday? It sounds like, number one, from a personal perspective, absolutely disgusting. Number two, from a watching consumer perspective, that doesn't sound like a very appealing social media watch. Have you ever done one of these? Have you ever been in one of these food competitions where you take down as much food as you can in a short period of time? You ever done that?
No, I have not done that. Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. Whoa. I have not done that. I will say this, the closest that I've come to that is one of those, I think it was a French fry, not a contest though, Alan. It was a French fry. If you could eat all of these fries in an hour, I believe. It was one of those big plates. I want to say I was in Vegas. I think it was like a pound burger.
Like a
2 pound burger or something.
Is this where you get like
a
shirt if you do it, or you get your like name up on the wall? Who's that guy that used to do Man vs. Food? You ever watch
Man vs. Food? Yeah, it was similar to a Man vs. Food. It was one of those. And I know that I tried it, and I definitely did not win. It was, I mean, just think about all the fries, and I was trying to eat the fries first, and the burger was gone, and I tried to cut the burger up, and it was not easy. And it was just a free contest. I didn't go in there trying to actually do it. It was like, we were there, and I was like, hey, you guys want to try it? And I was just like, he's like, oh, just try it. And you know, you get gassed up by your friends. And I'm a competitor, Alan, you know that. I'm a big competitor. So as a competitor, I was like, look, let's do it. And very quickly, I realized, like, I can't do this. And then by the end of the night, I was just hating life because I was full for like, I think 3 or 4 days. I don't know if I ate after that, but definitely I won't be doing it anymore. So, Alan, look, you can have fun with the fake Nathan's hot dog eating contest y'all got going on.
What are you talking about? Have fun. You think I'm looking forward to this? You think I'm looking forward to this? Let me
but
just
you
got to
represent, though. That's what I'm saying, though. You took the challenge on. So now it's not like you can't not show up. You get what I mean?
Keep going. Like, I need a pep talk from Kirk Morrison. Let me just set it up.
Like, see, right? Now you got to understand, you're representing me now, too, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're representing me. You know
what I'm saying?
The late night sleeper at night. Like, if you're going to be rolling with me or I'm rolling with you, you got to handle business. Like, when I walk around the 710 ESPN studios, I need to let everybody know, you know I'm kicking it with Sliwa, the hot dog champion. I got to let people know.
People kind of turn their head twice. That's Sliwa right there. He's the one that took down X amount of hot dogs.
Yes.
All right, Kirk, I kind of needed that from you because this is how this all got started. All right. So at some point in their show yesterday, you know, I'll listen to portions of Mason and Ireland, make sure that some of the topics that they have I can reference to during crosstalk, right? So they're talking about, I don't know what they're talking about, Nathan's eating competition, whatever. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, what is there anything more disgusting than watching the hot dog eating contest? I mean, it's as repulsive as it gets, right?
Yes.
And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of, I'm like, all right, you know what? That's a good conversation to have. So I go on with Mace, and the first thing I'm like, Mace, how disgusting is this? Who watches this? He's like, oh, it's so gross. So do you want to do it on Thursday? I'm like, where did that just come from? You know, here's Mason playing into it, but that's what we got coming up. It's take down as many hot dogs as possible. What I tried to do today, Kirk, I tried convincing Steve, let's eliminate the whole water thing, okay? Because that's what I think makes it most disgusting. It's the dipping the buns, all that, water everywhere, juices all over the place. What do you think Mason said?
No.
Yeah. Mason definitely said no. He said no water.
Because you need water to, you know, to make sure that the bread is moist, right? You got to saturate the bread so that it's easier to swallow, right? You need that bread because, you need that water. I don't know about you, Alan. I've watched the Nathan's hot dog eating contest plenty of times. It's a 4th of July kind of thing that you do. You wake up and it was, who is it? It's Kobayashi always versus what's my guy?
I'll tell you right now.
Joey Chestnut. There he is. Joey Chestnut.
The legend.
Yeah, the legend, Joey Chestnut. So those two were always go at it, and now it's just been like Joey Chestnut just has a strangle on the entire competition, and it's all about, it's never about will he win, it's about how many hot dogs will he eat, right? So I've watched it, but one thing I have seen is that he like smashes the hot dogs, like the hot dogs, he like almost, I want to say he inhales them, right? He just like, and I'm like, whoa. But then when it comes to the bread, like he's always dipping the bread like chicken nuggets, into like some sweet and sour sauce from McDonald's. So he's like just dipping, just dip, 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 and then he puts it and then he eats it, you know, accordingly.
Oh, it's gonna be ugly. It's gonna be an ugly scene. But you're basically, Kirk, what you're telling me is, bring it on Thursday. That's what you're telling me.
Show up and show out. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Two lines. That's it. Show up, show out. That's it. Four words. That's it. I don't need more from you than that.
Okay,
you
got
to show up and show out, Slee. That's
all I needed. That's all I needed right there. I needed a Kirk Morrison pep talk, representing the evenings here. That's right. You know what? You're right, Kirk. We're representing everybody that tunes in the evenings, and yes. And we'll roll up our sleeves and we'll come to work at 6:15 at night. Take down as many hot dogs as I can at 7:10. And then do a 2.5 hour show after that. That's what we're going to do on Thursday.
We're representing all the folks that got off work and, you know, kind of want to hit the gym for a little bit before they drive back to the South Bay or down to the Valley or to the East LA. You know what I mean? Like, we represent those folks riding through to Riverside. You know what I mean? My folks in the 909 and the 951, you know? So I got to make sure that we understand that if we all going to be in this together, we need Sleewa to represent, dog. Like, we need you. We need you, man.
Oh, this is great, Kirk. That is fantastic. You know what you need
to
do?
I'm being real, man. We need you.
You need to get your, you know, you need to get into a locker room here pretty soon when they need you. And you need to do your pep talk and just go from there. But, all right, that sounds good. Okay, so it's a busy day, Kirk.
Yes.
Today is a very busy day. A lot from the NBA perspective. So a little bit earlier today, had the chance to listen in. They do these virtual conference calls, and you know that's obviously how it's done now. So got a chance to, you got a number of reporters, obviously here locally in LA, got a chance to listen into Rob Pelinka. Mm-hmm. He had some, you know, just kind of good conversations about Avery Bradley's situation, whether or not, you know, the Dwight Howard, kind of gave an update on Dwight Howard. And then also I got a chance to ask him just what are some of those challenges going to be? You went 63 games. You were the best team in the Western Conference. All of a sudden you had to shut it down. What are the challenges in front of this team as far as coming back and fighting for an NBA championship in Orlando? So when we come back, we'll hear from some of those clips with Rob Pelinka. Plus, Adam Silver was with Time Magazine senior writer Sean Gregory, talked a lot about the NBA. He's confident about the NBA, obviously, coming back and making this tournament happen, or the rest of the season happen, from July 30th to October 12th. So, Kirk, let's do that. When we come back, we'll get a chance to hear from Adam Silver and Rob Pelinka. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show with Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN. Kirk, I don't know what happened. Later, we'll talk more about Ranger Sliwa, because I did go camping this week.
Yeah, you got to let me know.
I did go up to Sequoia. I'll let you know how it went. Okay, let's do this. So NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was on with Time Magazine senior writer Sean Gregory. You know, Kirk, this is the kind of beauty of the NBA right now.
Okay.
We're excited, right? I mean, everybody's excited about, we talked about this a little bit last week. The schedule came out on Friday. I mean, just think if you're an NBA fan and all of a sudden the sport stops, you're a Los Angeles Laker fan here in LA, and you know, you think your team's got a chance. A fantastic chance of not just getting a championship, Kirk. You know, I always repeat this when I say it. Number 17 is very important in LA. Number 17 ties you with the Boston Celtics for most championships all time. You're in that position, and then all of a sudden, NBA stops. We've gone over 100 days without basketball since, you know, they postponed. And then Friday, you got this taste where there's stuff on paper now. Now you're looking and you're like, damn, look at Lakers, Clippers, July 30th. Oh my gosh, 6 p.m. start out here in Los Angeles. Then you start looking at the rest of the schedule. You got Toronto and Houston, and it becomes real. You know what I mean? Like, it is, for the first time, you're getting extremely excited that, you know, we get a chance to potentially finish out the season. And the NBA is just going to be crazy. Just have that many games in such a short period of time. It's going to be amazing. But with all that said, there's obviously still a ton of questions. So Adam Silver was answering some of those questions. Here's one of the questions that I think is coming up a ton when we talk NBA basketball right now. This is Adam Silver on how confident he is with the return plan in the wake of some of these COVID-19 spikes, specifically in Florida.
I'm pretty confident, largely because, as I said, we're playing on a campus that is confined in that the only way to gain access to that campus is to be part of our protocol where there is regular testing. And if someone were to leave our campus, again, they would need to test and quarantine in order to return to play. So at least in terms of the model, we're protected from the rate of cases in the community, in the broader community. I'll say, though, of course, when we designed this plan, we were not seeing the kind of increases in cases, frankly, not just in Florida and Texas, but at least as of the last few days, the majority of states in the United States are seeing increases in COVID cases. So it's not as if, especially looking out into the future, there's any safe way to predict or pick a market where we'll be confident that the cases will be sufficiently down. So our model was designed for this. Our model was designed to protect us and our players from the cases in the outside community. Maybe at the time we designed it, we didn't think it would be as necessary as it is now, but at least we're preparing for it.
All right, that's Commissioner Adam Silver, who spent some time with Time Magazine senior writer Sean Gregory. So, Kirk, when you hear that, when you just take a listen to, you know, obviously there's a reason why they're going into a bubble.
Right.
And the idea and the concept is, of course, they everybody prefers that, you know, obviously there were no cases that were increasing in across the country, but that hasn't been the case. And Florida is certainly not an exception to that. They've had some of their worst daily cases over the last, you know, week or so than they've ever had. So the largest spike in Florida. But just your thoughts. This is the position that the NBA is in. When you hear the commissioner talk about, well, this is why we built a bubble. I mean, in a sense, it's almost like the concept is like this is a shield against the virus. But of course, we all know we have no idea what's going to happen once they actually all arrive in Orlando.
Yeah, it's like the episode of The Simpsons, right, that we all watched, where I think the town of Springfield was inside of this giant bubble, mm-hmm. and no one could get out. Right. It's supposed to be this sort of utopia, right, where it's nothing but NBA folks. So if you're not a part of the NBA inner circle, you can't come in this bubble. It's supposed to be a safe place, a safe gathering where mm-hmm. everybody, you know, is fine, is OK. You probably won't have to wear a mask right inside the bubble. Because the people who are allowed in the bubble should be negative when it comes to COVID-19. I understand what they're trying to do, which is for
Kirk, isn't this a movie? Isn't this just a freaking straight up movie?
Well, it's a movie, but it's an AAU tournament, I've always said, right?
But just think about what we're talking about. We're talking about this bubble, and you're supposed to be quarantined from the rest of society. Like,
yes.
This is a freaking box office movie. That's what it sounds like to me. But
yeah,
it's real life.
It was like the hopefully I'm not spoiling anything for people out there. I'm trying not to, Alan, but I believe, isn't that like the last... Which part movie? Of was it I Am Legend? Remember the ending of I Am Legend with Will Smith?
Will Smith, yep, I do remember.
Yeah, and it was
just
chaos.
Yeah, just the ending.
People
we
who haven't
just
seen,
lost. I mean, unbelievable.
Look,
no, I'm kidding.
Look,
I'm kidding.
If it's been five, yeah, if it's been over a decade, right? I don't know how long. But find out when I Am Legend
I
came out.
I guarantee you right now, okay? There were people
it
driving
came
home
like
tonight.
2008,
right. So
it in
any,
high
yeah, if a movie's been over a decade and you haven't watched it, hey, not my fault. Go get
there
it.
There were people driving home right now saying to themselves, I can't wait to go see I Am Legend. Let me just get a little Sliwa and Kirkin on my way home. And now you ruined it for them, man. You ruined it. No, keep going.
That person is out there. Please call in and we will all apologize. Please call
in. I have food. I have water. I can help you. But that movie, look, at the end, obviously. So basically, it's you know, he's basically trying to survive in a world in which is kind of going through sort of an outbreak, not necessarily a pandemic, but an outbreak. And he finds a way to every day to keep himself safe. But at the end, he finds someone else in civilization that seemed to be that no one else was even alive. And yet they found themselves at the end in sort of that utopia, right? In this, kind of a small little bubble in which everything was okay. And that's what Adam Silver has to create. That's what they're trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
They had to build something where players can walk in and you felt safe. For the first time, you can kind of, I want to say this, let your guard down, right? Mm-hmm. You can let your guard down. Take a deep deep breath, right? A fresh air and be like,
Kirk, I don't think they can. Kirk, I don't think they can. I don't think there's ever a moment when they're in there that they can let their guard down. Like, I think this is all part of the the process of creating this bubble.
I mean, you better be able to relax for a little bit.
But you got to social distance out there, too. Remember, there is no fans. But remember the rules, too. In those guidelines, they still got a social distance. You can't have another player walk into, say, hey, if it's Anthony Davis, he can't go hang out with LeBron in his room. I mean, this is – they still have to take all those protocols, even though they're in the bubble. The idea just is this is at least one of the more safer environments that you're walking into. But, I mean, they'll be tested. I think it's every day that they're going to be tested. I heard Chris Haynes on with Ireland and Ramona, and he was saying that maybe the tests take like 12 to 14 hours, something like that. So it's still going to be – I don't think it's going to be that much different than outside of the bubble. The hope is that just everyone in the bubble doesn't have the virus, but they still got to, pay attention to some of that. Now, once they get on the basketball court, then there's no such thing as social distancing.
Right, exactly. But there's no fans hanging out at the hotel. There are no people waiting outside of the buses waiting for you to go
signing
to
autographs.
Games,
mm-hmm.
Sign autographs. That's the part that I'm talking about that's safe. Right. Because I keep saying when you're in the bubble, that means you've got the VIP pass of all VIP. Like you've been to a club before. Right. Everybody wants to go to the VIP section. Right. Well, if you're able to make it into the bubble, you're a VIP. I mean, you got some juice. I'm going to be looking to see who's got the plug, who's got the juice, who's able to get into the VIP, because I think this is going to be so strict that they're not going to allow just a person who's what I call like your hanger-ons, right? Everyone's got a group of friends or people that are a part of their group.
Sure.
And those people aren't allowed in the bubble, right? Those are the people you more so have to worry about, not necessarily the players. It's the people on the outside who aren't playing for a championship, who aren't playing to finish up the season. I'm just here in Orlando to kind of help out one of my guys. Those are the people you have to worry about. I've seen those guys. I know who they are. I've seen it in my NFL career, right? I was never one to hang or have a big group always with me when I went places, but I knew there were certain guys on my team that, we go on road trips or whatever. There was always 3 to 4 people in a nice little entourage of folks with me. Mm-hmm. Those guys are not allowed, and that's
they will
what I'm
put
saying,
a kibosh that is, on that one in Orlando.
Yes, we are going to see something completely different, and that's why I'm saying this may be one of the more difficult things for some of these NBA players, because this isn't like just NBA training camp. This is something different, man. This is something totally different, because how much restriction do you have in terms of the outside world? The outside the bubble world, right?
Kirk,
how
did
much
you see,
restriction
did
you have?
Did you see the security that they are going to have? Because I will tell you, it's packed. I mean, they are taking every measure to make sure that somebody just can't walk into this hotel, this resort, this bubble, and just come hang out or something along those lines. That's the idea and that's the concept. It's one thing to have everything that they have on paper. They're going to have to execute. We'll kind of use just a sports analogy. I was saying this yesterday. On paper, everything looks great. Now, can it be executed? Once the game starts, does it? Does something happen where you have to turn left where you thought you would have to turn right? I mean, I have a feeling that the NBA is going to be kind of on the move this entire time to figure this thing out as best as they can to, you know, finish the season and crown a champion. But let me play one more clip because I know we do have to go to break. So here's Adam Silver on if there's any chance the NBA calls off the season return in Orlando.
Never full steam ahead, no matter what. I think one thing we're learning about this virus is much is unpredictable. And I think we and our players together with their union, the Players Association, look at the data on a daily basis. And if there were something to change that was outside of the scope of what we're playing for, certainly we would revisit, you know, our plans. I'd also say, I mean, we're testing daily. I mean, we haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and we were to see spread in our community, that would, of course, would be a cause for us to stop as well.
All right, that's Adam Silver right there. Let's do this when we come back. We'll get a chance to hear from Rob Pelinka, who had a conference call today with some of the local reporters. I had the opportunity to listen to that Zoom call as well. And we'll talk on kind of this loss of Avery Bradley, J.R. Smith coming to the Lakers. It sounds like that's going to obviously happen. That was reported by Adrian Wojnarowski. And then, Kirk, I'll kind of ask the million-dollar question here. What happens if this doesn't work out for the NBA? What happens? What do they do? Do you kind of scratch everything till 2020 or 2021? We'll chat about that coming up next. If you want to be a part of the show, always welcome to join our broadcast. The phone number is 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show with Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. All right, so Rob Pelinka, general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers, had a chance to connect with some of the local media. So I do want to play a clip on losing Avery Bradley, what that is to the Los Angeles Lakers. He goes into a little bit in depth on the story and everything else. But before I do that, so Kirk, how about that? We get that from Adam Silver,
right,
on if there's any chance NBA calls off the season return in Orlando. And listen, one of the things I think Adam Silver is so calculated. Everything he does, I feel like it's so calculated. One of the things I appreciate from him as a commissioner, if he's going to say something, there's a very good chance that he's going to deliver on whatever it is that he promises. But he's also very calculated, right? Like he's also not one to, I don't know if give too much information, but I think he just doesn't want to give any false promises. I think he's very careful with how he sets your expectations. He feels good. He feels confident about this bubble. But like he also said, listen, there's no such thing as kind of controlling this virus. And that's actually one thing I think I take from a lot of the conversation that he has with reporters and media that I respect.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing his job as a commissioner, right? He's doing his job by letting you know, giving you information. Right. Giving you the information of what he has. And he's not going to just give you anything in which he's 100%. This is what we're going to do and we can't change. He's showing you that there's flexibility and that there are still concerns out there that we have. And we're going to do the best that we can. He's not guaranteeing anything, but the part that he is guaranteeing is that we're going to work tirelessly. We're going to create an environment that we think will help our basketball players, our teams, our coaches, and we think we're going to deliver a good product for the fans, right? I think a lot of this has a lot to do with the economics of basketball, but it has a lot to do with the fans, and especially in a time right now where basketball has been gone, that people, they want to see a finish. They want to see an ending to this, and I know some people are like, well, where do sports fit into this? Why? Just finish. Just wait till next year. Cancel the season. And I would say you have to at least try. Try to do it. Try to say we want to exhaust everything that we can. We are not going to let the pandemic beat us. We won't let fear beat us. And we're going to try and hopefully create this model, this bubble, right? This quarantine in which we can have our players play and hopefully no one tests positive. Hopefully this thing doesn't get shut down. But, man, you would be upset if they didn't try. And I think that's what Adam Silver is kind of preaching, and that's what I hear in his words.
Well, Kirk, too, I mean, just think about this. I don't think there's a business out there, and it, you know, doesn't really matter what type of business that you run, that is not going to try and open up their business again. You know what I mean? Like, just think about this. Whether you're, if you're a restaurant.
The state of Florida or the state of Texas, right? They opened up earlier. They said, oh, you can open. It was like, oh.
Opened up the floodgates. That's what they did. But here's the thing. It's if you're a restaurant and you're trying to open back up, yes, you're going to have to open up under much different guidelines. So maybe your restaurant can only be open 25% capacity. Maybe you have to close down the bar area. Maybe it's just outdoor seating. You have to comply with all these health guidelines. But that doesn't mean you're not going to open up. And I'm not, you know, referring to maybe restaurants isn't the best example, but, you know, obviously many businesses have been so deeply affected by these government shutdowns, COVID-19, all that stuff. But you cannot not try to come back. Any business, and we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't think that the NBA is trying to come back because they have financial obligations to come back. If this was a volunteer project, probably not going to happen. But obviously, this is a business for the NBA, the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, MLS. Go down the list of all these sports. They, you know, we shouldn't be surprised at all that they're going to try and put it together. But back to what I said earlier, it could also fail to work. And I guess that's my question to you, Kirk. What happens if I know Mason didn't want to play this hypothetical. I get it. You know, the whole you want to look at things half glass full. Yeah. And I'm 100% with him with that. But that doesn't mean you can't have a conversation of what happens if they're able to not complete this. Is basketball a wrap till 2021? I mean, what is kind of the alternative?
The alternative is that it's over. We try. Mm-hmm. It's over. Season's over. We've seen it in the college ranks already, right? They've already canceled
March Madness. You
know, March Madness already. Mm-hmm. They've canceled all of spring sports. The fall sports are still kind of waiting around right now, the same as the NFL. But for a lot of the sports that were already in season at the turn of the new year, right, going into, you know, March and April, those sports pretty much have canceled outside of the major sports. And look, as much as we're talking about the NBA, MLS, they're going to have the same, a similar situation, the NHL. And I feel like no one's talking about the NHL and their restart up. But
if you want NHL, you tune in 6:30 tonight on this show. I will break it all down. All right. The whole thing.
Yes. But honestly, I think you got to chalk it up. Like, you know, I had posted this today on my Instagram, my IG story, right, at Kirk Morrison. And I put it like basically 2020 is up 42-0 over planet Earth. And it's only halftime, right?
Today
marks the half of the year.
Halfway through the year?
It's June 30th. 6 months in. 6 months in. Tomorrow is July 1st. So we're six months in. We're halfway in. And 2020 is kicking our butt right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is beating us up. I'm hanging on. I'm still fighting. I'm not throwing in the towel. No, I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm going to keep fighting 2020. I'm not going to let you. And I think
gotta
that's
be in
kind
for
of
the long haul.
But
gotta
that's
be
what,
in for the long
that,
haul.
That's what mm-hmm. Adam Silver and the players are doing, though. They're hanging in there. They're going to figure this thing out. We're not going to let the pandemic get the best of us. So mm-hmm. I understand it. And I think that's why they want to continue, right? They want to continue to hopefully keep this thing nice and tight. And hopefully that nothing breaks this thing down.
All right. So I mentioned it. I want to play a clip real quick. This is Rob Pelinka, who was doing a GM for the Lakers, was doing a Zoom presser a little bit earlier today. One of the questions I asked him was the biggest challenge for the Lakers moving forward. It kind of just set it up for Rob. You played 63 games. You had the best record in the Western Conference. Things were looking great. Now, all of a sudden, you have this hiatus for probably about 4 months. What are going to be the biggest challenges as we move forward?
Well, I think first, obviously, our initial training camp will be individual workouts only. So not until we get to Orlando will we be able to get back into the standard typical NBA training camp where guys are playing against each other. So I think the biggest challenge is going to be that we haven't been able to be in that environment as a team in our building for like you said, 3 or 4 months. So Orlando will be the first time with that type of team, entire team training and team and coaches training. And we'll only have 3 weeks to do that. So I think a lot of it is going to come down to our sports performance staff and just their ability to care for these guys with any injuries they come up with, and managing, you know, through getting back in elite shape and playing and all of the things that may arise as a result of that. But I, as much as Coach Vogel and his staff are going to be incredibly prepared from a strategy and planning standpoint, I think it's going to be this particular experience in Orlando. I think so much of the weight of this is going to shift to the sports performance staff, and we have a great one, and just how they keep the guys and get the guys healthy and in shape and then treat injuries. So that'll be a huge part of you know, our process there.
So Kirk, one of the challenges for the Lakers, let's put everything aside. You heard Pelinka break it down there. Okay, you got all these challenges in front of you. Now the challenge is, listen, I don't think there's much conversation about Avery Bradley. I'm a big fan of his. I really actually think Lakers losing Avery Bradley is, you know, it's not, I know it's not AD, I know it's not LeBron James, but that's a nice role player to have, especially somebody that wants to play defense. I mean, Kirk, you can, you know, use this in your NFL analogies, or I know you're, you know, you watch a lot of NBA yourself. There's something about those players that don't need the ball, aren't complaining about not getting enough shots, but they just make winning type of plays that will never show up in a box score. That's what the Lakers lost with Avery Bradley. So that's going to obviously be one of the challenges for the Lakers as well. Now you got to kind of fill in a void for a starter that was on your team, you know, obviously for a number of games this year.
Yeah, I mean, you got to fill in for a guy who's been tested before, who's been in those series, right? He's been in, you know, conference finals. He's been in, you know, in kind of championship play. He's part of that circle of trust, and that's what guys right now in Orlando, when they get to Orlando with LeBron, these are kind of guys who've been handpicked by LeBron as well. Mm-hmm. As much as we call it Rob Pelinka and Frank Vogel, the coaching staff, a lot of these guys have been picked, right, from LeBron James. I remember just thinking about Kobe Bryant and what he talked about, not necessarily what he talked about, but him signing off on Matt Barnes. Remember Matt Barnes becoming a guy that he wanted on his squad because he was like, I competed against him. I know he had what those I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've had those battles with those guys, and that's why LeBron sort of handpicked many of the players. Then they won't come out, you know, publicly and say, oh, LeBron specifically handpicked, but it's just like we knew that Avery Bradley came on, and when he's, you know, had to decline going to Orlando because of, you know, obviously the family situation. Mm-hmm. We already knew that J.R. Smith was going to be the next guy up. He was going to be the guy that LeBron trusted the most, the guy that LeBron has been in finals games with, the guy who can fill it up when needed, obviously reel him back in some of the more critical situations. But you kind of understand that. You kind of know that already. But to hear Rob Pelinka speak there, to me, the biggest part, and this is where we saw Jared Dudley. I know last week we joked about it, guys, but how much or how serious have these guys been when it comes to basketball, right? How in shape are these players? Will they need this time? That's why they're going to lean on Gunnar Peterson and that athletic training staff to get these guys everything. In shape. Like, you got to get back to where you're playing full games, 48 minutes. Right. And how do you do that? And because you can't just do it right away. You have to slowly build that stamina back up, that endurance back up. Right. It's very difficult. Right. I've known in my career. Right. And I would always come into training camp and look, I would pass any conditioning test that you threw out there, Alan. Like, I could do all of that. But when it came to actual practice and playing, there was just a different kind of shape that you needed. And you will work your way up to it by the time week one came. But, Alan, it was a process. Like, it literally is. Training camp was a process for me. And that's how the Lakers are going to have to ramp it up again and get back to where LeBron, I don't know if I want him playing 46 minutes right out of the gate, right? Mm-hmm. Is he playing 30 minutes? How do you manage that? That's why all of this to me is so mind-boggling, because
it's fascinating too.
It is. Mm-hmm. Like, you're trying to figure it out. Like, how do you do it? This is a restart, right? This is different. This isn't where you're saying, hey, we're going to go in for the long haul, right? We're going to go in and say, hey, it's all or nothing. But you're like, no, I got to save guys' legs, you know. But I also think that as much as we focus on the Lakers as well, are other teams taking it as serious or even more serious? Those are the kind of questions, right? I'm looking at James Harden and some other teams, and I think we focus on the Lakers.
The Clippers. How about the Clippers? The Clippers, I mean, right here in LA too. Mm-hmm.
There's some other teams that needed this time off. As much as we talked about how unfortunate it was for the Lakers, there are some teams that needed to retool, that needed a reset, that needed that torch. I mean, that fire to get lit again. So,
but you know, Kirk, I'm just jumping here. The challenge, as much of a challenge as, you know, Pelinka's mentioning with the training staff and getting these guys ready and all that. What's crazy to me is this one is you play 8 games. Typically, this used to happen in the past. You had 8 preseason games. And then the season would start. So you go training camp, 8 preseason, now it's down to 6. And then the regular season would start. But, you know, you're not coming out the gate playing all your guys 46 minutes, right? It was this process. Okay, October, November, December, January. Now we're kind of starting to push into gear more. This schedule is going to be 8 regular season games. The postseason has started. So there is going to be there's no margin for error. I think the Lakers, I've said this, and Pelinka kind of touched on it as well, they're going to treat these regular season games, they're going to treat them differently than most other teams, because other teams are going to be fighting. There's 4 or 5 teams trying to get that 8th spot to play the Lakers in the first round. Then there's other teams that want to avoid, let's say, the Clippers or the Lakers in the second round. So seeding is going to matter for other teams. It's not going to matter as much for the Lakers. So that will be kind of part of the, I guess you could say, the chess that's being played. But the Lakers... Right. They're going to jump right into it, and that's going to be what every team has to do. Quick question for you, Kirk. Do you ever watch Get Up in the Morning?
Yeah, I watch it. Yeah.
Okay. So Jalen Rose today on Get Up. I got to play this clip because we know that there are 2 teams right here in Los Angeles that arguably have the best chance to win an NBA championship. And Jalen Rose is jumping off one of these bandwagons, one of these teams in L.A., and he's now going with the other team in Los Angeles. We'll play that when we come back next, and then we'll also talk Lakers-Clippers. Lakers obviously lost Avery Bradley. How much does that change things against a team like the Clippers? I know Lou Williams last week was reported with L.A. Times that he was 50-50 on coming back. Dwight Howard, we still don't know if he's 100% coming back, so what that kind of means for these L.A. teams. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Preguntale a Kirk.
Kirk, you ever play that type of defense where you're like, I got him. I want no help. I got him.
Yeah.
A couple possessions in. Can I get some help? Where's everybody?
Bending those knees. He's ready to go. I don't know how well them knees bend right now, but we'll see. We shall see.
All right. So, Kirk, yes, our Saturday morning, hit the road. Drove up to Sequoia National Park.
Yes.
Okay. You ever been up there, Sequoia?
Yeah, I've been.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think you mentioned that.
I'm from NorCal, yeah. My buddy was not too far away. He went to one of the national parks near Sequoia as well. So that place right now, I will say this, because of the pandemic, a lot of people now are now are exploring different options to go out with the family, right? There is Disneyland's
100%.
Not open.
100%.
You know, the beaches are kind of, you know, different restrictions for everywhere you may go. Mm-hmm. So the national parks, the national forests, a lot of people are now experiencing them. But this is an Alan Sliwa thing, though. You've been doing this. Like, people don't understand that you've been doing this, right?
I go once a year. So it's not okay.
But you do it, though. It's
100%.
It's not brand new to you.
No. And listen, there's something about being out there, too. I mean, think about it, Kirk. Just kind of coming off the grid for a couple days. You got no cell phone service. You're not scrolling through Twitter looking, you know, every 2 minutes. You're not watching TV. Everything just stops. Everything just kind of pauses. And you're saying a lot of families go up there and that's a fantastic thing to do. Just nothing better. You breathe in the fresh air. You're in nature. I got a buddy of mine who I've gone camping with pretty much every year for over 10 years or so. He's got two little boys. So he's got a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. This is the first time we actually took his boys with us. So this was a much different trip. All of a sudden I had to be responsible. All of a sudden, you know, I had to make sure they're good and all that stuff. So it's definitely a little bit of a curveball, but Kirk, nothing better, man. Nothing better, especially, like I said, like everything that's going on, it's nice to just get away for a couple days, decompress. You come back yesterday, drove down, probably got here by like 2 o'clock, got, you know, obviously right into kind of the prepping, Lakers talk, and then here we are now. But it's fantastic to just get away for a little bit. You got to take the family, Kirk. Take the family up there.
Yeah.
You know, how many kids do you have? You got three kids?
Yeah, I mean, me and my wife, yes, we at home, we can bring the kids. We're thinking about it. But you remember, I went to college in San Diego. So I went to San Diego State. And you did too. Yep. But the thing
I think
is,
they're about to get their football stadium, by the way. Finally.
Yes, they are, finally. Mm-hmm. That's another story, man. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that. But Alan, I when we go to San Diego, I'm near a lot of state parks, national parks, and so I can go like on mini hikes. I don't know if with the youngsters that I have, if they're ready for the overnight
tent experience.
Mm-hmm. All right, where they don't have an iPad or a nightlight. I don't know if they're ready for that. Right.
Sure.
So. That's something that as they get older, we can probably start in the backyard first, mm-hmm. right? And then we can work our way up to a Yosemite, to a Sequoia, okay? We just can't just go right in there, you know, right about now. But, yeah, so you had a good experience, so that's great.
Great experience. Grilled some hot dogs. Didn't know that I'm going to have to eat as many hot dogs as I can with Mason on Thursday. So maybe I'll be prepared. all right, Kirk, so we had Jalen Rose on Get Up. I just want to play Jalen Rose on what he thinks about the Lakers versus Clippers matchup. So let me just play this without even giving it that much of a setup. Lakers, Clippers, who's Jalen Rose picking?
I wanted to see LeBron James win the championship in his 17th year, Greeny, with the Los Angeles Lakers, along with Anthony Davis. And they were playing terrific basketball before the NBA got suspended. I was in the Staples Center. I saw them beat the Bucks. I saw them beat the Clippers. And you know who was really valuable on that team that's not going into the bubble? Avery Bradley. Mm-hmm. He's a lockdown defender. When they played against the Clippers, he scored over 20 points, and he did a terrific job in particular against Patrick Beverley, disrupted him. You see that right there? He snatched the basketball from him at half court and went and laid it up. That normally doesn't happen in an NBA game. He's a dynamic defender, the best defender in the NBA at defending the three-point shot. The Lakers have the best defensive efficiency in the West. Without him, the two best teams are the Lakers and the Clippers. And LeBron could go nuclear and be dominant and win another championship. But with all things equal going into the bubble, I have to pick Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, Doc Rivers on the sideline. They added Tyronn Lue with Sam Cassell. And it's only right for the Clippers, who don't have a retired jersey, who don't have a statue in front of the Staples Center, who don't have their own building that they play in just yet, to win an unorthodox championship in a bubble in Orlando without fans.
Yeah, so
that's my pick.
All right, Kirk, so it's not out of the ordinary. It's not like this is, you know, if somebody picked the Clippers to win an NBA championship, and I know that kind of sounds crazy, but if they won this year, that wouldn't be a shock or a surprise. The Clippers got an amazing team. I mean, they're stacked, just as stacked as the Lakers are. But do you think that missing Avery Bradley piece, and let's say Dwight Howard continues and goes into the Orlando bubble, let's say Lou Williams goes into the Orlando bubble for the Clippers, you think that's enough to all of a sudden jump ship and decide that the Clippers are a better team in a 7-game set because of Avery Bradley?
Yeah, I would think so. And we're talking about defenders, okay? Because you're going to need multiple defenders to throw at, whether it's Kawhi, Paul George. You mentioned Lou Williams. I mean, the scoring is going to be there. And you need someone with with experience, with playing experience, with playoff experience. And this is the thing about
it. Listen, look how deep the Lakers are in that position. Because I do think Avery Bradley's a big loss, but I wouldn't jump. I wouldn't go that significant and say, okay, well, now the Lakers are actually looking up at the Clippers. But let me just say the depth real quick. You're right about experience. So when I say Alex Caruso, you're going to say, great, but does he have playoff experience? The answer is no. When I say KCP, which I actually think KCP will be the starter for the Lakers. They used him a couple different times during the season when Avery Bradley was out. So I do think that's kind of a natural thing for him to come in. But again, there is not playoff experience. Then I could kind of go down the list. Deion Waiters, we got to see what he's going to be. J.R. Smith, I'm not sure what J.R. Smith is going to bring yet. Let's give that a little bit of time. Danny Green, that's another option. Lakers have options. So it's not like, you know, they lost somebody and there isn't depth in that position.
Yeah, but you need multiple, right? Because this is going to be a situation where I'm looking at guys who can go out and go get their own shot, Sliwa. And look, we watched what Avery Bradley was able to do in that game against the Clippers. He was the equalizer. Now, that probably won't happen every single time when they play each other.
It definitely won't. It definitely won't. That's not his, like, forte. That's not his forte, but he had a great
game. But we know that he has the ability for that to happen. And in a moment where he stepped up, we've been always trying to find who was going to be the next guy to step up. That's been the ongoing situation for the Lakers throughout this season. Who was going to be that guy? And some people say,
who's going to be
the
third guy?
Yeah,
right?
It's a collective group. One night it's going to be Kuz. One night it's Avery Bradley. One night it is KCP. And that's all fine and dandy. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about playing at the Staples Center, though. Right? This game is in Orlando. That's why I keep saying this is like an AAU tournament. It's show up and show out. Right,
and that's an advantage for the Clippers. In my opinion, I think it's an advantage for the Clippers.
That's the advantage for a lot of squads out there, right? Because now it's just a different environment. Like all the variables that no one's talking about. Like, look, I understand what the crowd can do to you, man. You crowd noise, how loud it is, all of that, right? Just it's different. But even think about this. Allen is like the free throw line. Remember, the fans get loud. Like the concentration is going to be there. I don't know if people really understand what's about to happen. Like this is almost like a practice, or a bigger practice, like sort of like a scrimmage game now.
Remember, we talk about the Vegas. We reference Vegas a couple times. That summer league, the way that is. Now I know even those fans won't be there, but it's going to have that type of a feel to it, right?
It reminds me of, and this is when I used to watch the Orlando Summer League. It reminds me, if for people who haven't watched the Orlando Summer League back in the day before everything went to Vegas, the Orlando Summer League was like basically playing in a high school gym. And it was just guys just out there hooping like they're at the local, you know, LA Fitness or the YMCA, whatever it is. And so when it comes down to who has the advantage, like I have to side with Jalen Rose on here, okay? Because I know what I'm going to get out of LeBron. I know that. I think I know what I'm going to get out of Anthony Davis, okay? But it's still the other guys who we want to see now in this sort of playoff round robin-ish kind of thing. Obviously, it's going to be, you know, obviously four games, and then, you know, hopefully the finals. I understand that part. But now we're talking about here in the bubble, right? We're talking about recovery. We're talking about all the things that, to me, I look at a little bit younger Clipper squad that, to me, may just have the advantage when it comes to playing in this setting, in this environment. I just think that they have the advantage over the Lakers because I just don't know what the Lakers truly have. But when I look at those guys, you know, they have a mentality too, right? They have a mentality of Patrick Beverley. Like, look, check ball. Mm-hmm. Let's go. They would play this game right there at Venice Beach if they could. Whether I look at some of the Lakers and they may seem to play more in a controlled environment, right? A little bit different.
I think the styles are completely different. You're right about that. Stylistically, the Lakers, it is different. Lakers are 100% different than the way the Clippers play. But I'll go back to this. And by the way, this is a great topic. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Do you agree with Kirk Morrison? Do you agree with Jalen Rose that because all of a sudden these games are now going to be played in Orlando. You don't have that seven-game set that would have been in Los Angeles, Staples Center. We know what the crowd was going to look like if it was a Laker home game or if it was a Clipper home game. And now Avery Bradley no longer a part of the Lakers. Do you give the advantage to the Los Angeles Clippers? So we'll take some calls when we come back. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Plus, Kirk, you know I got to ask you what you think of Cam Newton joining the New England Patriots. So we'll do that as well. Coming up next, Alan Sliwa here, along with Kirk Morrison. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.